Psalm 121. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background before reading Psalm 121. In the Bible app, this is the only text that is there. I will be referencing a couple other passages and verses as we go through it, but I simply let 121 sit right there for you so that we don't have our thoughts distracted from the real focus of what we're doing there this morning. Well, then, tough luck. Open up, grab a Bible. Grab a Bible and open up to Psalm 121. It was published at 6:30. Maybe I put the wrong amount of time into it. Who knows? Psalm 121. And this is one of a group of songs that the people of God sang as they would travel to Jerusalem for celebration, as they would travel to Jerusalem at times of high praise. And as they would travel to Jerusalem, they would be traveling down dangerous roads. They'd be traveling down dangerous pathways. And their confidence to get to Jerusalem, where they were coming to celebrate, where they were coming to offer sacrifice, where they were coming to worship, their confidence along the way was encouraged by, we know where we are going. There's a destination. You know, if you want to get to grandma's house, and she lives five states away, the only thing that'll keep you going is the fact that grandma's there. If you get up and you go to the city of God to worship, the thing that's going to encourage you is you know Jerusalem is there, but better than that, you know God is there. It was a destination that was before them. And it's not simply the city, it was better than that, more than that, it was the fact that God was there in the city, that God was there in the city, above the hills in which Jerusalem is seated, is postured. That the covenant God had made promise to his people that he's going to care for them, that he's going to provide for them, that he is going to protect them as they faithfully serve them was what encouraged God's people as they moved in the direction of their God for worship. Truly, their help did come from the Lord. The Hebrew word here is Yahweh, the Lord God, the God who made the heavens and the earth. And as they traveled these dangerous pathways, these dangerous roads, they knew that his presence would not fail them, that he wouldn't turn their back upon him. That as they were coming to worship him, he's not going to be ignorant of their approach towards him. He's going to care, he's going to provide, he's going to protect. That both by day and by night, they had this confidence. The Lord God's going to watch over me. And on their way to Jerusalem, this is just kind of physically how it happened. On their way to Jerusalem, God's people would travel south along the Jordan Valley until they came to a place where they're 1,200 feet below sea level. And then they would turn west and they would look and see Jerusalem, which was perched on top of a mountain from their place of being below sea level. They would turn and they would see Jerusalem and they would ascend a very steep pathway. That's why these Psalms, of which this is one, are called the Song of Ascent. Psalms of ascent, songs that were sung as God's people were going from a very low place up to the city of God, which was perched upon a mountain. And so they're going up the steep road to Jerusalem. The sun is on their left. And so the Lord in this passage is likened to shade on their right hand, where comfort was felt, where protection comes from. And they had this knowledge and this thought, God will keep us from danger as we travel to and from the city of God. But it's not just the traveling to and from the city of God. They had this confidence, God would watch over them and care for them and protect them all the days of their life. And so as they're making this trek to Jerusalem with the physical realities of the topography in which they are traveling, they're very low in a valley, looking up high to a city that is on a mountain. They're singing this song to themselves. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Father, we pray that you would encourage each one of us by this good word, and we would be sustained and we would be empowered for the journey that is ahead of each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time this morning focusing on these verses. And what I hope more than anything, my prayer, my desire, is that we will all be exceedingly encouraged by the time we go home. See, in these words of Psalm 121, we are hearing a picture of God's covenant care and His grace that He has promised to His people and that He does show to His people. His people who are faithfully following His way. His people who are faithfully approaching the city of God to worship and to call Him holy and to celebrate everything that He has done and everything that He is. They're going to Jerusalem to celebrate what He says, His ways and what He has called them to do. And on their way, here's what they can be assured of. They can be assured that God is watching over them. They can be assured that though they're traveling through difficult roads, God sees them and He is keeping them and He is caring for them. He is aware. And so the good news of God's grace towards people, here's what it involves. It involves not only their past, the forgiveness of their sins. His goodness and His care absolutely involves that, right? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owed. Sin had left the crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. His goodness and His care extends to our past. In every rebellion, no matter how dark, no matter how wicked it is, has been washed by His blood as we come to Him in confession. And as we give ourselves to faithfully follow Him, as we give ourselves to not just to ask Him to forgive our sins, but to lead our lives, His care and His provision also extends to our future. It's not just that He's watching over us in the moment of our salvation, but His watchful care is extended to us every day of our lives. As we walk daily by His side, He is with us. As we daily try to pursue Him and find Him and hear His voice and to see His activity around us, He is watching us. As we daily walk by faith in His power, in His promise, in the knowledge of His presence, we are encouraged along the way. Loved ones, I want to encourage you with this truth. We have been united to Christ. If you have confessed Him as Lord, you've been united to Christ. And when that happens, and we live our lives faithfully before Him, His uninterrupted care for us never fails. Never fails. He doesn't take moments off. He doesn't need to have a potty break. He doesn't need a nap. He does not grow weary. He does not grow tired physically Himself. And hear me, He doesn't grow weary of you. He doesn't grow tired of you. Your pastor might grow tired of you. You might grow weary of yourself. But the Lord God Almighty does not grow tired of you. He does not get weary of your lack of growth. He's saying, come on. Keep on coming. Get back up. Here, I'll help you get up. Dust yourself off. Better yet, let me dust you off again. His uninterrupted care will never fail us, even as verse 8 states, from this time forth and forever. When we are saved, His care is upon us in a way that it actually overcomes our sin. And from that moment, His care for us extends until the day that we will stand before Him face to face and we hear His voice undeservedly say to us, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." And so as we read, it's as we read in Hebrews chapter 13, He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can say, "The Lord is my helper." Why don't you say that? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. All of us in this room, I'm sure, have had one moment in our life where we knew God was caring for us. He was protecting us. We made it through a difficult circumstance in a way that we thought we never would. And we can look back at those moments and go, "I remember the goodness of the Lord specifically to me in that moment. And though I may not fear it now, I know God has not changed from then. I know He has not left me. He hasn't abandoned me. He is as assuredly with me right now in this moment as He was in my darkest hour when the light dawned, even though I didn't know there was a light anymore." And we have to continue to tell these things to ourselves. We need to continue to preach these things to ourselves because, loved ones, this is true. There are times when you feel the Lord has forgotten you. There are times when you're not sure His promises are secure. When you wonder if somehow you have messed it up so bad that God is tired of you, though He loves everybody else. And in those moments, we need to hold on to the Word of God that says this. He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." How many husbands have said this to wives that they turned their back on and abandoned? How many wives have said this to their husbands who they turned their back on and abandoned? How many parents have abandoned their children after committing their very lives to how everybody fails us at some point or another. But our God does not fail. And so we can say, "The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. It doesn't matter what comes against me, there is somebody who's with me. It doesn't matter how big the hill is before me, there is somebody who is with me. It doesn't matter how many of those who are rallying against my success, who are trying to bring me down, there is one who has always given Himself to lift me up. I will not fear what man can do to me." See, Psalm 121 is intended to give us comfort. Psalm 121 is intended to give us confidence. Confidence to us pilgrims who are on our way to worship God in His city. Specifically, it was written by David, and it became a theme, it became an anthem for God's people as they were on their way to worship God in Jerusalem. It is the second of a group of psalms from Psalm 120 to 134, the songs of ascent, songs that were sung while God's people were scaling the mountain, so to speak, coming up from the valley on their way to the mountain of God. And these are the songs, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, that were most frequently sung by God's people as they made their way to worship God in Jerusalem. I don't want to make this petty, but to help you think about it, This is going to be, I hope you don't get mad at me. Back in the day when I was in school, we would go on long bus rides. And, you know, on the bus you're singing songs to pass the time. And the only song I can actually remember is 100 Bottles of Beer on the Wall. 100 bottles of beer in the wall, 100 bottles of beer, take one down, pass it around. You know, we're grade school, right? Singing about, you know, drinking 100, passing it around collectively. 99 bottles of beer in the wall. But these were songs that weren't sung in joking manner or in teasing manner. These are songs that help the people of God pass the time, at the same time encouraging their spirits. Not dumb ditties, but encouraging themes, encouraging anthems. They read through this, and they turned from heading south. They turned west towards Jerusalem. And said, "I lift my eyes up to the hills. And how many of you know the feeling of lifting your eyes up to the hills? Maybe it's an actual hill. Maybe you're somebody who likes hiking. And you're going to go out and it's a four-diamond hike. I don't know if that's a thing, but it's an extreme trail. And you turn and you go, well, I'm never going to make that. I need somebody to put me in a wheelchair and push me up because I don't have the energy for that. I don't have the strength for that. I hope there's a crash pad out there because I don't know if I got my heart in it. All of us know the experience of turning the corner and setting ourselves to accomplish a task, to go somewhere and to see the mountain that is before us, either real or metaphorically. And we see it, not going to make it. The hill is going to demand more of me than I have to give. The obstacle that is in my way is stronger than the strength that I have. The opposition that is being rallied against me is beyond my ability to do anything about. We all know that feeling, right? I turn and lift up your eyes and the heart falls. The heart falls. I lift my eyes up from the hills to the hills, and it's not a joyful, from where does my help come? It's, where am I going to get the strength to do this? Where does my help come from? Because I can't do this on my own. But it goes on. My help comes from the Lord. There's an answer, you see. For God's people who are on their way to the kingdom of God, there is an answer for us. Knowing that this life in Christ isn't always easy. It isn't always gilded. It isn't always the wind at your back. There's opposition that comes against us. We're on ground that seeps the energy out of our feet as we walk. I lift my eyes up. Most of the time, this is simply a way of saying, look! Sometimes it almost implies a prayer for help. I lift my eyes up. The opposition's there. I need help. See, the city of Jerusalem sits high on a hill. Again, the Jews traveling to Jerusalem for one of three annual festivals would traditionally sing this song again as they ascended. It's almost like, you know, the little engine that could. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. My help comes from the Lord, my help comes from the Lord, my help comes from the Lord. You've been walking up that mountain for an hour and a half and it doesn't look like you're any closer. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. He made those mountains. He created those mountains. The pilgrims lifting up their eyes might wonder, how am I going to get all the way up there? And God's people right here, right now, as we look to the kingdom of God ahead and our desire to finally meet the Lord face to face, look around in this world and sometimes we wonder, how am I going to make it? Here's what parents wonder. How's my kids going to make it? How are my kids going to remain pure in such a perverse world? There's no hope. There's no chance. How are they going to do it? How am I going to do it? Their help comes from the Lord. Their help comes from the Lord, who created sex in a way that is beautiful, and relationships between husbands and wife in a way that is pure and God-honoring. That sex is not the purient, base, dark thing that this world has turned it into. There is a good path that God has chosen for them, and He can keep them on that path. How are they going to make it? Their help comes from the Lord. How will I get there? How will I find help to finish this journey to the house of God? And you think about it. This psalm is actually living out a parable. They are actually physically on their way from their homes to the city of God, Jerusalem. But this psalm covers all of the believer's life. It's a metaphor. It generalized to all of the believer's life. The Christian life is not an easy life. If somewhere along their line I gave you that thought and gave you a little wink, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You read through the New Testament, and the Christian life is regarded as a fight. It's regarded as a race, and a race of endurance. It's regarded as a raging war with regular battles. It shows us that there is opposition against our successfully finding ourselves in the presence of God someday. And to make it worse, he tells us that resistance is all around us, but it's not just all around us, it's also in us. Our flesh rages against our spirit and draws us down and weakens our pursuit. The world, with its priorities and its principles, always coming around, encroaching, wear us down. Hebrews refers to it as a sin that so easily entangles. You're walking along, you think it's real good, it's like walking into a cobweb. You didn't see it and messes you up. And it's the devil himself who has emissaries that he sends to discourage you and to whisper a word of temptation that you would chase and follow him. What was true of these pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem is true for us, is true for you, and it's true for me, and it's true for every believer who is moving forward on their way to the kingdom of God, and that is this: we need help. We need help. Because just like them, we too are pilgrims on our way to the city of God. And thank the Lord, we too, like them, can say, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And since this is true, since that the one who is our help is the one who made the mountains, is the one who made the earth, is the one who made the heavens. Since this is true, there is no force strong enough to keep God's faithful people from safely arriving at their eternal home with Him. Doesn't matter how weak you feel. It doesn't matter how exhausted you are. The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who created the mountains that Jerusalem is currently perched upon, is with you. And He has the strength to get you there. Let's be clear about this. God is not simply a God who can scale the great heights. It's not like He will put you down and say, hey, just watch me and run up there. Well, you know, if I want to become a world-class, an Olympic-level sprinter, it's not going to do me a lot of good to have Usain Bolt just show me how it's done. He's going to have to pick me up. And he's going to have to run me himself. And you know, he's got that strength. I bet he can probably pick me up and run all of me on his back faster than I can do it on my own. See, it's not God just puts us in our places, watch this, do it like me, as He comes alongside of us. See, it's not just that He can scale great heights. No, hear this. He sits enthroned above all heights. He has universal power. He has unlimited power. He has unbounded power. Isaiah 66. In Isaiah 66, the Lord says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. I was eating some sunflower seeds this week and being less than tidy, and one randomly got out. So when I stood up from the couch, I go, hey, what's going on? Sunflower seed. This earth is a sunflower seed under the foot of our Almighty God. See, not just that He's strong enough to get there. It's no big deal to Him. He sits enthroned above all this earth. Nahum adds this, the clouds. Think of the biggest, most impressive thundercloud of summer. The clouds are the dust of His feet. These things that cause us to cower in fear, to run to our basements because maybe there's a tornado, the dust of His feet. So Psalm 121, look at verse 3. He, this God, He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I mean, you've seen it, right? These verses are dominated by what word? keep. It's the Hebrew word shamar, to keep, to guard, to watch over, to attend to carefully. So as you're reading through this passage, he's going to keep you, which means he's going to guard you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to attend to your safety. He's going to attend to you carefully. The Lord who keeps Israel, which is a corporate entity, right? Also keeps you. He keeps Israel. We saw that in the passage. But it's not just that he keeps Israel, that he keeps you. And he keeps you. And he keeps you. Hear me, loved ones. On our way, on your way to see him face to face, as far as your journey depends upon him, he will not let your foot be moved. As far as your journey depends upon him, he will not let you slip as you walk. As far as your journey depends upon him, he will not allow you to suffer from danger by day or by night in such a way that all these things will prevent your safe arrival in the place that he is right now. He's there preparing a place for you. He's not going to let you be kept from getting there as far as it depends upon him. For he who keeps you will not slumber. See, this is in opposition to the Sumerian gods, in opposition to the Egyptian gods. The Sumerian god Enki had a lack of direct care of the Sumerians, who ascribed to the fact that their life was a mess right now, said of their god Enki, he lay on his bed. Will he not arise from his sleep? The Egyptians also wondered at times whether the miserable state of things in Egypt was due to the neglect of their god, of whom the Ippur papyrus, this is a thing, the Ippur papyrus asks, these are Egyptians speaking out, where is he today? Is he asleep? Behold, his power isn't seen. These are the questions of the Sumerians, the questions of the Egyptians. They thought that life ought to be different from them, that things ought to be going better for them than they were, because they had, you know, there's a powerful God who's looking over them, right? Who's caring for them, right? Why aren't things better? Maybe he's asleep. Loved ones, no matter how difficult it is for us, and when we have the questions, why aren't things better for, the answer is never God's asleep. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. Now, in verse 5, uses the word shade as a metaphor for the protective power of God. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Even as the sun is scorching you from the left, there is a place of shelter. There's a place of care. There's a place of protection. There's a place to run to. Numbers 14 and verse 9 uses this exact same word for the word protection. Their protection, on the negative, is removed from them. And then Lamentations 4 verse 20 says, under his shadow, under his protection, we shall live among the nations. How many of you have heard this language in the Psalms? Under the shadow of his wings. Is that familiar? That's more than four times in the book of Psalms. And that's this word shade. In verse 6 we read, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. We understand the dangers of the sun. We understand. From a simple sunburn to an awful results of a life spent in too much sun. The dangers from the heat and the sun are obvious. The danger from the moon is less clear, right? And I think it's simply possible that the psalmist has in mind the quite common and reasonable fear of the ancients, and not just them, but you and me here, the moderns, had of dangers lurking in the night. There's places you would go in broad daylight, you'd be afraid to go at nighttime. It might be your own basement. Your own basement might creep you out. I don't know. But there's this common thought that dark is not safe. And so as the sun is shining down on you, it won't scorch you and keep you from getting to the city of God. And at night, when you're not sure how you're going to get around and exactly what the directions go, that too will not overcome you, for there is a God who will get you there. And so Jesus says in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come. come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Doesn't mean that our lives are going to be lived without trouble. Jesus is the one who said this. In this world, you will have tribulation. But thank God, in the same breath, he also lets us know he's overcome the world. And so when Psalm 121 speaks of keeping you from all evil, of keeping your life, of keeping your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore, here's what he's promising. Here's what the reference is. The reference isn't that everything is always going to be as good as it possibly can be, but it means this. As far as it depends about God, he is promising you a safe journey to your heavenly home, to bring you to the place that he is creating for you right now. A journey that we are living today mirrors the journey of the people of Israel as they went from festival to festival to festival, and they would turn the corner and they would see the city of their desire, the city that was their destination. How am I going to get there? And they would say, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you. My help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. See, it mirrors the journey of faith that all of God's people are experiencing on our way to what John Bunyan called the celestial city. That is heaven, right? The New Jerusalem, the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Loved ones, hear me. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. He watches over you. He pervasively attends to you and cares for you. The Lord is your keeper at all times. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. And not only is he all-powerful, he is also ever-watching. And this is the confidence that is going to get you here next Sunday without throwing up your arms in despair and quitting. We're never alone. And his life-transforming power is always at hand. It is always available. And so here's what we ought to anticipate. As we give ourselves to serving God faithfully, and as we approach him weekly, daily, moment by moment in our individual lives, looking to the day when we will stand before him and we will hear his voice. Well done, good and faithful servant. Right, here's yours. Here's your house. Here's the place I've been working on and made just for you. On our way there, we know that he will not abandon us. He will not sleep. He will not slumber. And so we ought to be experiencing on a regular basis life transformation. We ought to live moments more filled with hope than the external circumstances point to us. When we're not sure how we're going to get there, rather than going, how am I going to get there? We say, my help comes from the Lord. Michael, will you come up here? We're going to sing a song. I'm going to teach you a song. And so on the way, our hearts are filled. Our hearts are filled with joyful anticipation as we look to the day when we shall see, as John saw, what did he see? A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he heard with a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hear this. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Psalm 121 is meant to encourage us and to give us courage as we approach that day. I invite you to sing with me as you learn the melody. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. We'll sing that part again. If you want to stand, you can. And I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. Sing it this time as a prayer. I lift my eyes up. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. Oh, we thank you that we're not alone in this journey. We thank you for the brothers and sisters who surround us right now, who are on this journey with us, and who this morning have reached out to you in the way that our hearts are reaching out to you right now. We see that before us is a journey, and it's fraught with difficulty and hardship. So we recognize that we have need of somebody to come alongside of us and rescue us and to walk us to the kingdom of God. Lord, you've already brought us in, and you are faithfully bringing us there. There will come a day when all hardship is done away, when the effort it takes us right now, when our flesh is lusting against the spirit and our spirit is raging against our flesh, when that battle no longer wages it, it has been once and for all firmly been established in our life that our only inclination is to serve you and to love you. When our every impulse is to walk in godliness. When our chiefest goal, our highest aspiration, is simply to live in a joyful relationship with you. On our way there, Lord, we confess you're our only hope. You're our only prayer. Oh, how we need you. Teach us to wait. Teach us to wait. As we travel, sometimes as weary pilgrims, but we are traveling. And your Spirit is here to walk us hand in hand and to empower us to please you in every way. Lord, help us. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gaithers would have sung it like this: as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can, for I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord. Look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Should you make that your prayer? Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Hold my hand. Amen. Amen. Pray that you'll be encouraged and the Spirit will take this and seek it deep into your heart this week. Amen.